At Notre Dame Federal Credit Union, both members and partners are considered family. They're a national financial institution serving thousands of members in all 50 states. Go to notredamefcu.com/relevantradio.
The following is a Relevant Radio program and is protected under U.S. copyright laws. This program is made possible through the contributions of listeners like you. Support Relevant Radio by clicking on the donate icon at www.relevantradio.com.
Isn't that a beautiful story about the Vicar of Christ as we enter Holy Week? I love that story, how he welcomed the homeless of Rome to the Sistine Chapel. Beautiful gift he is, Pope Francis. We need to pray for him all the time. Well, all next week, Father Rocky will lead an on-air mission as we prepare for the Holy Triduum and reflect on Christ's Passion. Beginning Monday, listen at 1 Eastern, noon Central for a special broadcast of Close to Jesus to the Last. It's a Holy Week mission with Father Rocky. You can hear it again each evening at 8 Eastern, 7 Central. Well, we welcome you to On Call and on this program each and every single solitary day, Catholic clinical psychologists and physicians and authors and experts and spiritual directors join us to help us face life and its many challenges with mature wisdom and confidence, and above all, with our beautiful Catholic faith. I'm your host, Wendy Weiss, and today our beloved regular contributor, Dr. Joseph Coyle, joins us. He is a licensed psychologist in the Boston area. He offers psychotherapy in person and by phone. He is board certified, a professional Christian counselor. He offers his clients the opportunity to integrate religious and spiritual aspects into the work. He has locations in Waltham and Norwell, Massachusetts. His website, josephcoyle.com. josephcoyle.com. Welcome back to Relevant Radio. How are you today?
I'm great, Wendy. How are you doing?
Doing very well. Has the snow finally ceased?
Yeah, it's just started to thaw. This is absolutely ridiculous. I'm expecting the great flood when everything melts here, but we still have these kind of ice caverns as you're driving through the neighborhoods. It's just nothing like anybody's seen before here. It's been crazy.
It really has been proven, hasn't it? I mean, to have been a historic winter. I mean, you've never seen anything like this in Boston.
Absolutely. And I think the topic that we have for today was very applicable to me about a month or so ago when I was raking my roof. So absolutely, this is very appropriate.
Raking your roof. Well, I was, and I think we all saw the on social media and elsewhere, the photographs of people literally sledding off of their rooftops and then just onto the yards. I mean, it was like it was that high. The snow had actually reached the rooftops in some cases. But today we're going to be talking about anger and diffusing anger, using our faith to diffuse anger, not only in the culture, but in the domestic church. And you are a relatively young man, and I feel like a very old woman. And I remember, Dr. Coyle, a thing called polite discourse, where you could agree or disagree, I should say, without being disagreeable. And today, I don't know if we're teaching that to children, because we certainly have no business teaching it to anybody. We don't practice it ourselves, do we?
Right. Yeah, people, I think maybe you have regional things here, too. Certainly New Englanders with you know, the great hearts and the great passions they have, it's hard to be, you know, kind of telling people what you feel they should do, or, you know, what your take on things are without really getting a hearty retort back. So I think, you know, I'm really feeling that, you know, these kinds of sensitivities and so forth, you have to be careful. I think Americans in general, you know, we believe what we believe, and we're going to be ready to go if somebody contradicts us. It's part of the beauty of our culture and our country. But it's as a person who every day is working to give people feedback, you have to know how to finesse it, and you have to know how to take people where they're at and to align with them in order to get your point across, for sure.
And it, you know, you have to wonder if it has to do with changing, and obviously cultural boundaries are they're very fluid and always, I think, in a state of transition. But when I was growing up, I remember hearing my parents, and I really thought this was literally maybe the 12th and 13th commandment. You know, you never talked about religion or politics publicly. We would all hear our parents say, you never, ever discuss religion or politics at a cocktail party. Well, it's all we talk about anymore. And no one seems to respect anybody else's opinion. And that is either trickling down or filtering up. I can't figure out which direction. But it's almost like we're just swimming in a sea of disrespect.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes you run into that, that people get very heated, and unfortunately you have stereotyping these days with, you know, a lot of the things that we're seeing. You have racism alive and well in much of the goings-on in the country and the news stories and things. People get really polarized. It's very hard to talk about these topics without getting emotional. There's a lot of defensiveness that, you know, people exhibit on this scale. I feel like a lot of times there's almost this in-group, out-group sports mentality that people have, that this is our team and this is our people, and if you talk badly, we're going to come back at you. So again, I think there's a spirit of strength and camaraderie that's good, but we have to be really careful not to run off the road, and we have to get back to Christ's message and the compassion for everybody, for all human beings, and really remembering that and how we're dealing with each other.
What about people who are dealing with excessive anger in the domestic church, whether that is a husband or a wife? Those patterns can create a great deal of damage for children growing up in that atmosphere, for the marriage. Let's start there, Dr. Coyle. Where does that excessive anger come from? Because anger, I think, is something that in small doses, you know, it would be superhuman not to be angry occasionally, right?
Absolutely. Yeah, I think I start very low-key, and I always try and get a sense from people of their context and of the lifestyle that they're living. I'm always trying to look downstream a little bit in other places for, you know, the roots of the symptoms a lot of times. So I think today, you know, if you look in families, we're all in the same boat, and there's a lot of pressures. The pace that we keep, that we, you know, society kind of fuels us to keep, we have, you know, fathers and mothers working, we have childcare issues, we have you know, just the culture within companies that even, you know, 20 years ago or so, you had pensions and you had company loyalty, and that's just really a thing of the past. And you have this sense of, I can be laid off at any time. And certainly with the economy in recent years, unemployment, just there's a ton of stress. And I feel like that, operating under these kind of anvils that are hanging over our heads just in all these different ways, there's such a stranglehold that we're having to operate under. So we're not our best selves, and it doesn't take much, a lot, to get the pot to boil over if we're already, our baselines are already really close to maxed out. And now if you get, again, additional financial stressors, again, coming out of this winter in New England and the stresses there, a lot of homes really damaged and people not able to work on a number of days. I'm really seeing the effects of that and the way that that even environmental context can feed in. Then put that in the context of the world culture and the violence that we're seeing on the news every night before we go to bed. It's really tough within families. So it's tough to keep that balance. It's tough to rage against that and relax.
When do you know that there is a problem, that something is not, you know, a pattern, something that you're seeing is not just a temporary garden variety, you know, venting of a moment, but in fact a sort of a chronic anger, you know, state of anger and excessive anger. What are some of the signs that a spouse, you know, that you need to look for?
Well, I go very relative on this, and I feel that, you know, this is back to even if I look at couples work and marital work, if one of the partners feels that somebody is yelling, then they're yelling. And so I think you really have to be sensitive to the relationship and to the family dynamics in that sense, that, you know, what kind of interference is cropping up here. Some people might feel like, you know, I can be animated, I can talk in a loud voice, I can get passionate, but someone else might say that that's really damaging, even scary sometimes, you know, and a lot of times I find that I tend to see men sent in for anger or anger management issues by their wives. And, you know, that can be a tricky enterprise because they a lot of times will underplay or undercut what the level of problem is. So a lot of times I'm needing to bring in, you know, anytime somebody is sent to me, I'm wanting to bring in other members of the family to try and understand the dynamics and understand the impact that that's having, and really try to align with the person to say, look, this is creating strife here, even for the very fact that you're having to come in and take time out of your week to come to a therapist, you know, so let's just be honest about the rift that's being caused here, and let's try to get to the bottom of it.
Dr. Joseph Coyle is our guest today. We are talking about excessive anger, whether you are noticing it in the culture or in the family room of your home. Please phone in, and Dr. Coyle is here to help you. The number in the studio is 877-766-3777. That's 877-766-3777. He is in private practice in the Boston area in Waltham and Norwell, Massachusetts, and his website, Joseph Coyle, C-O-Y-L-E, Joseph Coyle, one word, .com. Join us, and again, phone in anonymously if that makes it easier for you. But if you are dealing with excessive anger in your home or elsewhere, perhaps in the workplace or perhaps in the extended family, Dr. Coyle is here to help you. This is Talk Radio for Catholic Life. This is Relevant Radio. Join us. We'll be right back.
If you missed any part or you want to re-listen to it or share it with somebody else,
any of our programs on Relevant Radio, go to relevantradio.com. All the archives are up there.
Oh, that's great. I will listen to the archives.
Programming on demand at any time, and we just put everything up there at relevantradio.com on Drew's show, Wendy's show, Sheila's show, The Inner Life with Chuck Neff, and also Father Simon Says.
Let's turn the gizmo on. Seems to be cooperating today.
It's all up at relevantradio.com.
To further educate the faithful on the vocations of priests, sisters, and brothers and their service to the Church, His Holiness Pope Francis has declared 2015 a year of consecrated life. Bishop William Callahan.
Religious are men and women who live their baptismal consecration by publicly professing the gospel life through vows of poverty, chastity, and obedience. Religious live, work, and pray in community. And they follow the spiritual charisms expressed by their founders, such as St. Francis, St. Dominic, or St. Benedict. Religious life has been established in the Church so that we may all have an image of the kingdom of God that is freely lived, simply, purely, and only to love and be loved by God alone. It is thus meant to be a picture of heaven here on earth.
For more information on the Year of Consecrated Life, visit our website, relevantradio.com, and enter keyword year.
On our Lenten journey, if you're looking for a way to spend more time in prayer, but maybe you're not sure how to fit that into your schedule,
let me turn you to the Relevant Radio app, because it continues to get better and better all the time. And now we've added the Stations of the Cross.
Three versions of the stations, led by Father Rocky, ranging from 12 to 36 minutes. Choose the one that fits your schedule. Available on the app, or you can go to the website, relevantradio.com, keyword Lent.
Wishing you a blessed Lenten journey. This is Relevant Radio.
Our readings at Mass today present two people who were very alike, whose names start with the letter J, who were both prophets who suffered terrible injustices and who, in the end, had very different reactions to the way they were treated. Hello, I'm Father James Kubicki of the Apostleship of Prayer, and these two people are Jeremiah and Jesus. To see the difference between the two, just listen to the prayer Jeremiah offered in chapter 20, from which we have our first reading. It's a prayer for those who were persecuting him. And he said, O Lord of hosts, you who test the just, who probe mind and heart, let me witness the vengeance you take on them. For to you I have entrusted my cause. How different that is from the prayer that Jesus offered as he hung dying on the cross. He did not ask the Father to see vengeance done on those who were killing him. He prayed, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He not only asked God the Father to have mercy on his persecutors, he made excuses for them. If you are really a Christian, a follower of Jesus, this is the mercy you are called to have as well. Do you have it? Is there anyone who hurt you in the past or is hurting you now and you really don't want good things for them but bad things? Then pray as Jesus did, asking God to forgive them. You may be struggling to forgive because it seems like you're letting them get off the hook, but you're actually letting yourself off the hook. Because remember how Jesus told us to pray in the Our Father? Forgive us as we forgive those who have sinned or trespassed against us. The measure of mercy we will receive is directly proportional to the mercy we have measured out. So be merciful as your Heavenly Father is merciful.
It ain't just me, baby. Anger can make you old. Yes, it can.
We're talking about excessive anger today with Dr. Joseph Coyle. His website, josephcoyle.com. He is in private practice in the Boston area of Waltham and Norwell. And his office line is 617-460-5718. If you are listening to 550 WSJW in Providence, Rhode Island, I know many of you obviously get into the Boston area very frequently. And if you're looking for a solid Catholic therapist, look no further, josephcoyle.com. And if you would like to phone in about an excessive anger issue in your family, in your extended family, in the neighborhood, in the classroom, the number in the studio is 877-766-3777. And we welcome you to phone in. We invite you, I should say, and encourage you to phone in anonymously if that makes it easier for you. And we do have an anonymous caller up first, Dr. Coyle, on line 7. Hi, Anonymous in Minnesota. Welcome to Relevant Radio. You're on the air with Dr. Joseph Coyle.
Hi, Dr. Joseph. I have a question. So as a woman, I do have anger. I don't know if I should call them anger problems, anger issues, but around the time of my monthly period, about a week before that, I just seem to be angry about a number of things and agitated and anxious. And I seem to always take out a lot of my frustrations on my children and my husband. And I feel so terrible about the way I act, but I also know that my hormones are playing a part in this. So I'm just wondering how would I react around that time? What would I do? Because it's also affecting my spiritual life, because I know God doesn't want it, but it's part of my nature too.
Great question, and this is something that I see very regularly, and I think it's great that you're able to come on and ask about it. A lot of times there definitely can be hormonal contributors to anger, and one of the things that I tell women is to meet with their primary care doctor and just get a regular blood test and some blood work done and talk with the doctor about the swings that you're seeing in your mood, because there's something called premenstrual dysphoric disorder, which is PMDD, which is... Okay. Something that is more difficult and more severe than a typical premenstrual cycle. So a lot of times I tell people to just get that ruled out. A lot of times if we just assume it's psychological or it's a self-control issue and there's these biological things going on there, you know, it's not fair, and you come away feeling bad about yourself and frustrated.
Right.
And a lot of times there's things that can be done. More and more you're seeing these days supplements and naturopathic solutions to just about everything physical, so that's certainly one way to go. A naturopathic doctor can be helpful, but your primary care doctor, even as far as if there's some medication or something to do that would help you, sometimes an antidepressant can be helpful, but to get a clear picture of, is there something like that going on? So that would be one thing. If there's nothing like that going on, you know, I think we're really looking to try to be predicting. You know, there's certain times a lot of women are knowing, you know, when they're in tune with their cycle, and that would be something to do as far as what are the red zones that you're coming into as far as the danger or the, you know, the feeling of, you know, this is around a time of the month that I might ramp up, that you're really working to be proactive in relaxation, in watching your body, in prayer, just, you know, meditation, centering prayer, all these different things that we could bring, some real nuts and bolts tools that you can have available to be really watching your body, watching your stress level. You can be doing breathing exercises, muscle relaxation. You can be doing imagery. A lot of times you can have CDs or the rosary and things like that. So these very kind of common sense tools that really go a long way as far as, you know, as far as helping. The other thing would be to be communicating. Certainly a lot of times, you know, within families, people are not aware of these shifts within the woman and are kind of caught off guard by that and not knowing what to make of it. So if there's any way to kind of communicate, you know, with a spouse or with children, or just let them know what's going on, and give them kind of a heads up on that they need to be sensitive, they need to be, you know, helping, a lot of times that kind of simple communication can go a long way as well. So those are some
Yes. Yeah, I really like.
Anonymous.
Yeah, look, I'll start off with my doctor and see
Good.
What...
And that really is great advice. Of course, I'm not speaking of myself personally, Dr. Coyle, knowing anything about hormonal fluctuations. Anonymous, I know nothing about anything like that. But I have heard from friends of mine that if you can alert your husband, God bless him, and your children, God bless and keep them, that this is happening, and you can laugh about it. Right, Dr. Coyle? I mean, when I was growing up, my mother... Our mothers never talked about it. We just sort of,
right.
It was kind of like the eggshell, you know, syndrome, and laughing about it and keeping a sense of humor about it, right, Dr. Coyle? That always is going to take the sting out.
Yep.
I like that very much. Thank you. Thank you.
I'll pray for you, Anonymous, and pray for my friends, too, okay?
The ones
who are affected by hormonal fluctuations. I know my friends will appreciate your prayers as well. Thanks, Anonymous.
I will do that at 3 o'clock today. I'll be praying the chapel for them.
Oh, God bless you. God bless you. Thank you so much.
Bye.
Dr. Joseph Coyle is our guest. We're talking about excessive anger. Please don't wait until the end of the hour. If someone in your life is angry and you don't know exactly how to diffuse it, if that feeling of eggshells is something that you are all too familiar with, phone in. He can help. But he wants to speak to as many of you as possible. The number is 877-766-3777. Yeah, open communication and letting the people you know, or letting the people you love, I should say, know what's going on. That really does help in all areas, doesn't it, Dr. Coyle?
Yeah, it's very easy to fall into the trap of feeling that people can mind read or feeling that people are on the same wavelength as you. And a lot of times, again, just looking within marital and couples work, people are just wildly on different pages. So it's really important to over-explain things a lot of times.
And I think men need to know that, because when they're going through things at work and they think, you know, they'll keep it in, they'll bottle it up and not share it with anybody because they don't want to bother anybody with it, That's something we need to talk about, too. We'll get to that on the other side of the break. This is Talk Radio for Catholic Life. This is Relevant Radio. Join us.
I want to be an artist.
I'm going to be a dancer or a sewer like my mommy.
I'll be a fireman.
But first you have to quit sucking your thumb.
All of you are important to America, and if you work hard, you can be anything you want to be. God has a plan and a mission just for you.
He does.
That's right, and that's why you are America's greatest natural resource. Hello, my name is Marianne Kuharski, and I'm the director of Pro-Life Across America, the Billboard People. If you know someone who is pregnant or in need of information or would like to support the life-saving work of Pro-Life Across America, please call 1-800-366-7773 or visit our website at prolifeacrossamerica.org. Pro-Life Across America, educational and non-political.
I can suck my thumb before I was even born.
On our Lenten journey, if you're looking for a way to spend more time in prayer, but maybe you're not sure how to fit that into your schedule,
let me turn you to the Relevant Radio app, because it continues to get better and better all the time. And now we've added the Stations of the Cross.
Three versions of the stations, led by Father Rocky, ranging from 12 to 36 minutes. Choose the one that fits your schedule. Available on the app, or you could go to the website, relevantradio.com, keyword Lent.
Wishing you a blessed Lenten journey. This is Relevant Radio.
This week on Christopher Close Up, we'll be addressing the topic of integrating children with special needs into the life of the church and teaching them about the Catholic faith. I'll be talking with David and Mercedes McBride Rizzo, authors of the book Spiritually Able. They've walked that road themselves because their daughter Danielle has autism. Join me, Tony Rossi, this Sunday at 4:30 p.m. Eastern, 3:30 p.m. Central for Christopher Close Up right here on Relevant Radio.
I think it's important to understand that we live in two worlds, and sometimes it's difficult to live in two worlds. We just want to live in one or the other. Sometimes we get so very spiritual that we're no earthly good. Other times we become total materialists. And no, there's no such thing as spiritual reality. Well, yes, there is. And we walk in that world. It's a very dangerous world unless we allow Christ to be our only guide with His Holy Spirit.
This is Relevant Radio.
For Melvin and his family, making a living as coffee farmers in Nicaragua has always been a challenge.
Catholic Relief Services. Faith. Action. Results.
The day Melvin saw leaf rust on his coffee crop, he hoped it would pass, but the fungus killed so many of his plants that he had no coffee to sell and no food to put on the table. With help from CRS, Melvin and many farmers like him in Nicaragua are learning how to protect their plants and grow a garden of food crops to sell, ensuring they don't go hungry when one crop fails. Now Melvin can always feed his family, and the proceeds from his crops allow him to invest in a CRS-supported savings group. Your Rice Bowl contributions this Lent are helping farmers like Melvin plan for a future free from poverty and hunger.
Catholic Relief Services, the official international humanitarian agency of the Catholic community in the United States. Visit relevantradio.com. Keyword CRS.
Morning Air on Relevant Radio.
Lent with Kids, Carrie Donaldson.
Becoming a new parent, I felt I needed to do Lent very seriously. So paradoxically, the time that you want to do Lent the hardest is the time that you should do it the easiest. Anytime you have a human being who spits up on you, Lent is covered. It's like a hair shirt, but for new parents, a spit-up shirt. My six-year-old put this perfectly the other day. The whole point of Lent is to make your heart bigger for Jesus.
This is Relevant Radio.
It's 26 minutes before the hour. This is Relevant Radio. If you're just joining us, it's Talk Radio for Catholic Life. And today on this program, we're talking about excessive anger. On call is Joseph Coyle. He is a Catholic therapist in the Boston area. He's in private practice in Norwell and Waltham. His website, josephcoyle.com. That's josephcoyle.com, COYLE.com. And I want to get to Anonymous on line 7. Anonymous, hi. Welcome to the program. We'll get back to that that point we were trying to make about fathers, husbands who try to keep it all bottled up inside. But Anonymous, you're waiting, and you are now on the air. You're on Relevant Radio with Dr. Joseph Coyle. Go right ahead. Welcome.
Good afternoon, Doctor. And again, thank you for talking about a very relevant issue in today's world.
My pleasure. Good to talk to you.
Doctor, the question is this. My wife and I have been married for a little over 5 years. It's my second marriage and her third marriage. And she has a teenage daughter from her second marriage, which is now part of our family. And more or less for the whole marital time, she has not done a very good job of guiding and disciplining her daughter. And that has created a lot of friction in the household. And when it does get to the boiling point, it's never talked about. It's almost as if the three of us go to three neutral corners in the house and remain silent. And I want to talk about it, and I like to get it rectified, but nobody does anything. And it just constantly builds up anger, you know, and it's never addressed. I mean, what is the right way to deal with this when people don't want to talk about some very, very serious issues?
Great question, and you're talking about the topic of blended families here, which is very tricky a lot of times and has its own dynamics and its own problems and issues a lot of times, and so this is a very common thing that happens. I think the first thing that I would do, again, if I was taking inventory here, I'd want to take inventory on the marriage and start from there, because I think you want to be on the same page with your wife on the disciplining, and that needs to be fleshed out and hashed out. And as you know, as a parent, any time that the kids identify that there's a difference, or there's kind of an opening, or there's a way to pit you guys against each other, they're going to do that and exploit that. So to get that foundation and really get a common ground and get on the same page with what you're doing as far as parenting style and disciplining, I think would be a real, real important thing. And a lot of times, again, particularly within blended families, you might need some outside help with that. There are good practitioners that have expertise with that. Maybe there's a pastor or priest that you both trust and respect the authority of that can help you to do that, to get on the same page as far as your approach. Because certainly, between you and your wife, you don't want to be having those kinds of disagreements about the disciplining in front of the kids. That can undermine things and can often exacerbate the problems you see in it.
And, you know, quite frankly, we have sought out both a private person and a priest on these matters. And
good.
My wife is very reluctant to come and speak about it because she feels that, and I quote, she says, well, you're the one with the problem. You go seek the help.
Yep.
And everybody that I've spoken to, both priest and professional, have said, you know, it's a three-way issue here, and I need the other two parties to come in.
Yeah, absolutely.
And unfortunately, they're reluctant to, and it kind of leaves me, you know, just standing there because, you know, I do want to work on it. I do want to either solve it or at least bring it into the forefront where you can say, all right, here's the problem. Let's address it. Let's work on it as a family, not just go into three neutral corners and do nothing and think it's going to go away, because it doesn't.
Yeah, and you have to take the motivation of your wife or the other people in your family kind of where it is a lot of times. So, and part of the frustration is you feel like you're banging your head against the wall sometimes. Anytime somebody comes in and tells me there's an issue in the relationship that's all the other person, that is a huge red flag. It's always 50-50. Any marital issue is 50-50. So, you know, but if that's the stance that they're taking, it's really hard to crack through that. You want to be praying that God softens the heart. I think you have to watch your boundaries as far as what you're able to do and not do. You've tried every way from here till Sunday to figure out a way to say it, a way to communicate it. You haven't been successful. So, again, you might need some guidance there on your own as far as how do I work within these parameters as best I can, as in as Christian a way as I can. You have to be clear on what you're going to tolerate and not tolerate as best you can. But you may need to be fleshing out, well, what's my action plan going to be for myself here, if I'm running up against these barriers? How am I going to address that? What am I going to allow? What am I not going to allow? And really have your focus be kind of that way, and hope that over time, and pray that you'll see windows of change. You want to keep the temperature as low as possible. You want to keep people from getting defensive, maybe even understand, you know, in a compassionate way, the concerns that your stepdaughter has, and try to be getting one-on-one time with her as possible to listen to that, to try to diffuse that, but while also setting boundaries with her as far as what you're going to tolerate and not.
Right, and that we've tried to do as well, and the tolerating level has been basically thrown out the window because she is prone to, you know, angry outbursts and, you know, temper tantrums and things that just, me personally, I would never do to my parents, and the amount of talking back and disrespect has gotten to the point where, you know, it's really created a very bad situation on the home front. And my wife either is too acceptant of it or has been so beaten down over the years thinking that this is normal behavior when in fact it's not. So that in and of itself creates a huge problem, because every time there's an argument or a disagreement, it always elevates to a shouting match between the two of them, but nothing ever gets solved.
Yep. And so there's this impasse that you're at. You've spoken your piece, you've laid things out, and you're still not seeing them pick up what you're putting down here. And so again, I think what's God asking you to do here? Your role as a prayer warrior, as far as planting seeds, as far as minimizing damage, containing things as best as possible, your role may need to shift in some containment like that. And again, appealing again for them to really be on board with you for some outside help here to try to sort out the 10,000-foot-view game plan on how the family's going to run.
And Dr. Coyle, isn't it really important, obviously, as you mentioned, for him to remember to give it to God? I mean, you know, because this is a very perilous situation when you have a second marriage, you have the stepchild. And sometimes when we don't give it to God, when we try to exert our will over the situation, we can become as angry as the people that we're dealing with, right?
Right. And, you know, and there's this great novena, Mary Undoer of Knots, that a lot
right.
of people know about,
exactly.
that relationships are rife for that, that you just, you run up against somebody's will, and it's like just stone. And so you're left helpless a lot of times in having to wait and having to, you know, rely on God's timing and prayer in that way.
Anonymous, a lot of people are going to be praying for you. I'm so happy that you were able to get through to Dr. Coyle. Thank you so much for calling. God bless you. Pray for Anonymous on line 7. That's his name today, and I know he'll appreciate those prayers. Let's go to Austin, Texas, listening to 970 AM KIXL. We have Israel. Hi, Israel. Welcome to Relevant Radio. You're on the air with Dr. Coyle.
Hi. Dr. Coyle, just wanted to ask, I've been diagnosed with major depression and bipolar disorder and social anxiety. I was on Prozac, didn't kind of give it a good chance to see if it lifted my serotonin levels or whatnot. I found that more natural ways kind of help with my symptoms and whatnot. I've just seen what kind of therapy or like cognitive therapy or what, I mean, what direction, what do you recommend? Because I'm kind of, as far as my psychological health is kind of, I don't want to say deteriorating, but kind of need to keep all my spiritual, psychological, and emotional on check. I want to get that all balanced out.
Good for you. I think it's good that you consider the medication route. I'm a proponent of that as far as turning the volume down on some of these things so you can get your arms around them better.
I don't want to be a guinea pig, you know what I'm saying?
Sure. Bipolar can be tough, and as far as the mood swings, the ups and downs, I mean, Israel, that is one of the disorders that is kind of most helped by medication, so just make sure that you've done your due diligence on that. I do believe that there's, good naturopathic solutions more and more these days for across the board for mental health things. So if that's more your speed, the supplements and so forth, and looking into that, then do that, absolutely. More and more you have MDs that might be covered by your insurance and so forth, so follow that. As far as depression, you can hit it in a lot of ways. I want to understand how you are with your emotions, if there's any anger that you're not expressing, if there's things that you're frustrated about and you're not letting that out appropriately, a lot of times that can show up as depression. Make sure you're exercising. Make sure you're moving your body. Sometimes you need to be getting energy out of your body. You know, watch for aches and pains and so forth. That can be a sign you need to be moving a little more, obviously under the guidance of your doctor. There can be things to do as far as stopping thoughts that you're getting that are negative. You might be talking to yourself in a negative way all day long and not realizing it. You need to get in there and stop that. From a prayer point of view, there can be things you can do on imagining yourself sitting with Jesus and just put all the depression in a big garbage bag and hand it to him. Imagery like that, just picture yourself sitting with him, talking about it, any kinds of prayer things that you can bring to these difficulties that you're having, and try and get a picture of yourself functioning without these problems that you use as your target that you're aiming at. Make sure you have that. Make sure you have that hope and that vision that you're shooting for so that you know what you're going for here.
It's tough, man. Like you said, I am going to get more active, but it's just sometimes it's so frustrating trying to get everything, but like you said, give it to God, and I've been looking at the 15 promises of the rosary, man. I have a lot of faith, and
good.
I asked my mother to please, you know, just send me those signal graces, and yeah, man, I'm gonna give it effort and listen to your advice, and I mean, local state laws kind of prohibit the natural way. I don't know if you catch my drift on that, herbal supplements, but
marijuana.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, I'm not a fan of that, but you know, try to go to a practitioner that knows about the natural remedies for these things. There's more and more these days, really. Check that out.
Israel, we're happy that you called, and we need to take a quick break. If you or someone you love is dealing with excessive anger, please don't let the end of the hour come without a phone call. Dr. Joseph Coyle is here to help you. He is a Catholic therapist in private practice in Norwell and Waltham in the metropolitan Boston area. The number in the studio is 877-766-3777. We'll be back. This is Talk Radio for Catholic Life. This is Relevant Radio. Please join us.
Morning Air on Relevant Radio.
Mother Olga, the fire of your faith is infectious. For those of us who are cradle Catholics, we've all gone through that lukewarm phase. If there are lukewarm Catholics listening to us, what would you say to them so they can actually feel that fire of faith that you have, Mother Olga?
You know, when you love people, you think of them. You do anything for them, and you do anything that would maintain that love relationship. Sometimes, you know, our relationship with God, it becomes lukewarm because we don't think of that relationship as a love relationship, as a real relationship. We think, you know, He's distant, He's God, and we are here. If we only get a little bit close to that fire of His heart, just as your finger gets that close to the light of the candle, can you imagine what would happen to us if we get closer to the fire of His heart?
Talk Radio for Catholic Life. Relevant Radio.
The other day my son asked me, "Dad, can't I be mostly good most of the time? Do I have to struggle with every sin and vice?" I said, "That'd be like me asking you, can't I be mostly faithful to your mom most of the time?" You see, Christianity isn't a moral code or a philosophy about how to live. If it were, then half measures would be fine. But Christianity is about a person who offers his life to us and wants our whole lives in return. It's more like a marriage than a rule book. And that raises the bar a bit, doesn't it? Jesus said, "Be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect." That's not because he wants us to be rigorous moralists. It's because he wants us to be all his, just like he is all ours. A relationship demands a whole lot more than a moral code, doesn't it? But it's also infinitely more beautiful. This is Chris Stefanik. For more, visit relevantradio.com, keyword Real Life Catholic.
Catholic Order of Foresters provides low-cost, high-quality life insurance, protecting families and bringing Catholic values to life since 1883. Catholic Order of Foresters. More information at 855-696-2085.
It's an angry world, and everything is going to be all right. Yeah, it's an angry world.
We're talking about excessive anger with Catholic therapist Dr. Joseph Coyle today. His website, josephcoyle.com. That's C-O-Y-L-E. You still have time to get into the program, 877-766-3777. I have Dr. Coyle's links on Twitter. You can follow us at On Call with Wendy. Like us on Facebook. That's On Call with Wendy Weiss. Let's go to Julia in Chicago. Hi, Julia. Welcome to Relevant Radio. You're on the air with Dr. Joseph Coyle.
Yes, doctor. I want to thank my husband. He's suffering for a lot of anger. He's a good person. He's very kind when he's in good mood, but there is not too many times that he's in good mood because everything he makes him stressful. Even the way he walks is too fast. He fell with the ice this week. And I don't know how to manage this.
Okay. I would want to know how receptive he is to your comments on that. Is he able to take feedback on that?
Excuse me?
Is he able to listen to you? Does he listen to you when you point these things out?
No. Sometimes I try to give him advice and say, sometimes he listens. But it's a little time when he listened to me.
Okay. So, you know, is there anyone that he would listen to? Is there a priest? Is there a pastor? Is there anyone within your community or your family?
Some of his friends.
Yep. So, you know, if there's any people in the family that also notice these things, you know, if you have kids or other relatives that can agree with you on this, that you could sit him down and try to talk with him, try to get through to him on some of these things.
Yeah, everybody noticed that, as I told you, when he's okay, he's a very good person. He tried to please you, you know, when he's driving, he sometimes, you know, passing him, or he's driving slow or something, he starts talking, how he's driving, or, you know, everything in a moment. Even though he had a heart attack because, you know, he was suffering for the anger, no?
Yeah, it can be something that even affects his health. So that might be something to be talking with him about, your concern for his heart, your concern for his blood pressure. If there's anything that he would do as far as meeting with somebody, meeting with a Christian counselor or meeting with his doctor just to try to get some feedback, just to try to understand how he can relax better. Any things you can do around talking with him about what he's dealing with? Does he feel like he's carrying a lot of stress and a lot of weight for the family? Are there pressures that he's under in his life? Is there anyone that he can speak to kind of be an outlet for that? Is there exercise that he can be doing? You know, anything that you could do as far as health, watching his diet, but just opening the lines of communication with him as best you can. If he's really not hearing that, then I think you're into boundaries and you're into what are you going to tolerate, what are you going to let him do, and what are you not going to let him do. And that if he's getting crazy when he's driving, that you're not going to drive with him. If he is coming home and being angry, that you're going to tell him maybe he needs to go out for a little bit or he needs to go downstairs for a little while, that you send a message to him clearly on what you're going to tolerate and not tolerate.
Thank you, Julia, for the phone call. We will pray for your husband and for you. Let's go to Matthew, patiently waiting in Minnesota. Hi, Matthew. Welcome to Relevant Radio. You're on the air with Dr. Coyle.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. My question is, what kind of resources are out there besides counseling? Are there 12-step groups? Are there some kind of support groups you can find through the Catholic Church or different churches or organizations?
Sure, yes. As far as support groups, you know, there's always the 12-step groups, like Al-Anon sometimes is a good resource for general support and community support and issues more broadly than, say, AA or NA or these other kinds of groups. There may even be 12-step groups around anger. A lot of times I've seen Depression Anonymous. I've seen even anxiety. So there might even be something like Anger Anonymous that you might check out. Within Christian circles, you can look at something called Celebrate Recovery, which is a Christian organization. It's almost a Christian 12-step group that might be in your area. There's Connected Catholics. That's a good support system in general for psychological issues. Those are things that come to the top of my head. You know, support groups in general, a lot of times hospitals will run them, and they'll be broad enough that people can kind of bring issues involving anger there. Sometimes there are anger management groups that are run by different, sometimes they're therapists, but sometimes they're more community support organizations.
How does that sound, Matthew?
Sounds good to me.
All right. We'll pray for you. Will you pray for us?
Oh, I will.
Thank you. God bless you for the phone call. We're happy that you were able to get in touch with Dr. Joseph Coyle talking about excessive anger today. Let's go to Jenny, also patiently waiting in Texas. Hi, Jenny. Welcome to Relevant Radio. You're on the air with Dr. Coyle.
Thank you. I wanted to say that I'm a convert, and I finished my RCIA last year. And before I became a convert, I had a lot of anger and a lot of anxiety. And I had some legal situations where I literally had true enemies. And the thing that helped me the most was when I went through RCIA, I made a special effort to try to follow what I should be doing as a Catholic. And I spent a lot of time praying for these people and kind of forgiving them.
Good.
And it was very difficult. And I studied and I forgave, and I just laughed because I'm going, I don't want to forgive this person. But, you know, the transformation was incredible. And when I forgave them and I started praying for them, my obsession with kind of an anxiety and an obsession of what they could do to me next all disappeared, and I have no anger towards them, and I'm really filled with joy more than anything else, and I don't dwell on them. I don't think about them every night at 3 a.m. I just say a prayer for them and turn it over to God. And I just want to tell people, if you can follow the tenets of the Catholic Church, it will really psychologically help you so much.
Good. I'm so glad you called in, Jenny, to get this in before we're done here as far as the punchline with forgiveness. Absolutely. Congratulations on your RCIA and for that transformation there. Unforgiveness holds us in bondage. We hold ourselves in bondage. The people that have done whatever to us, they're not affected by it at all. We're affecting our spirits, our bodies a lot of times. Somebody said, unforgiveness is the poison that you drink hoping it gets the other person. So absolutely, for you to free up and make the decision to let go of these things, you don't have to forget them or deny them, but you're freeing yourself up, and absolutely, that's a huge route to letting go of anger. Good for you.
Welcome home, Jenny. What a perfect last call. And Jenny, we wish you a blessed Holy Week, and we wish you, obviously, Joseph, a very blessed Holy Week. Thank you so much for being here. Already looking forward to our next visit. The Drew Mariani Show is next.
Thanks for listening to this hour of On Call on listener-supported Relevant Radio. For information on guests and topics, go to relevantradio.com and enter keyword Wendy. That's relevantradio.com. Keyword Wendy.